Audio Kitchen.
You won't believe the static.
The Audio Kitchen. The Audio Kitchen.
Yes, it's running. You can't hear it. You can't hear it go round when you're recording. Well, when you're rewinding or something, you can.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, now we shut the door.
Tell it like it is, Professor.
What is a computer? A computer is an electronic tool or device which operates at machine speeds and can perform control operations as well as computations including arithmetic and logic from a stored program without human intervention. What is a computer from a technician's viewpoint? A computer from a technician's viewpoint is an integrated circuit, IC, or set of integrated circuits coordinated with one another to carry out a specific function. What are the two classifications of computers? The two classifications of computers are digital and analog. What is the history of computers? The history of computers are first generation computers were electromechanical computers which made use of relays and electronic computers which made use of vacuum tubes. Second generation computers made use of transistors and magnetic core memory. Third generation computers use small-scale integrated circuit ICs. Fourth generation computers made use of medium-scale integrated circuit ICs and large-scale integrated circuit ICs. During this generation, first wave microcomputers were 8-bit microcomputers and second wave microcomputers were 16 and 32-bit microcomputers. Fifth generation computers made use of very large-scale integrated circuit ICs, which brought about the development of the supercomputer and artificial intelligent computers. What is a computer program? A computer program is a list of encoded, ordered instructions used to carry out a specific job, task, or function. What are the three categories of digital computers? The three categories of digital computers are large mainframe computers, mini computers, and microcomputers. What are five factors that determine the category of a computer? Five factors that determine the category of a computer are cost, physical size, speed, storage capacity, and particular type of application. What is meant by dedicated computers? Dedicated computers are computers that are used for one particular type of application. What is meant by general purpose computers? General purpose computers are computers used for more than one type of application. What are the names of some of the different types of computers? The names of some of the different types of computers are handheld computers, portable computers, home computers, transportable computers, and personal computers. What are the classical parts of a computer? The classical parts of a computer are the input device, the output device, the processor unit. What are the major classical components of a digital computer? The major classical components of a digital computer are the arithmetic logic unit, the control unit, the main memory, and the input-output unit. What are the major components of a digital computer today? The major components of a digital computer today are the input device, the output device, the auxiliary storage unit, and the processor unit. What is data? data is the numbers, letters, words, sentences, paragraph, punctuation marks, symbols, and or any alphanumeric characters which are suitable for manipulating or processing in some manner. What is word processing? Word processing is the act of taking data, adding to it or taking from it to create text material. What is data processing? Data processing is the taking of data and processing it or making it into information. What is hardware? Hardware is all the physical components, devices, circuits, wires, etc. of a computer where data or instructions are held or transferred between. What is information? Information is processed data. What is software? Software is the data and instructions which cannot be physically touched in a computer. They are essentially the signals and or electrical pulses. What is user-friendly data or information? User-friendly data or information is the data or information which is in a form familiar to the computer user or computer programmer.
This is the Audio Kitchen, and I am the professor. How are you? You know, I could probably do that, just create an automated me to do this show. Just to type in the words. There's probably a way to do that, right? Anyway, hello. Welcome to the show. Today, here in the Audio Kitchen, I'm doing a whole program about home computers, about computing, the electromechanical world of computers. Maybe we'll all learn something, right? Computers are interesting devices. And I imagine that most of you have one or two at home. We have three in our house. Three computers. And they are magical. There's a certain magic to the computer. And you know, I gotta say that this radio show either wouldn't exist or would be a much different type of program without computers. Every piece that I've played on this show has been digitized, mastered, and edited on a computer. That's right. I hate to break it to you. I'm not just sitting here playing funny tapes in a cassette deck. No, that's not how this show has been done. Nope. And you know, all the correspondence regarding this show, the way that I communicate with you, it's all via computer. And if you need a question answered quickly, you don't have to call the librarian anymore. Just type it into Google and stand back and watch the answers line up on the screen. I mean, these days, in this early part of the 21st century, early part, we think of computers as these multifaceted, multitasking devices that do a lot of stuff. But it wasn't always that way. I mean, if you look in a dictionary from the 20s or 30s, look up the word computer, and it'll say something like a person who calculates, somebody who does a lot of math. That's what a computer was. And then once they finally made devices that they called computers, all they did, really, for a long time, was just a lot of math. When computers were first in people's houses, they basically just crunched numbers. That's what they were good for. And those computers were darn good at math. Computers are great at math. And in those early days of home computing, if you bought a computer, you basically had to write programs. There really wasn't any software to speak of. Eventually, there was word processing and simple games and so forth, but not much. Let's go back to the home computer Stone Age. Maybe... How about the home computer Bronze Age, the early 80s? This particular audio letter is from a computer geek guy to his mom. The guy's name is Robert. Sounds like he has a little post-nasal drip going on, Robert does. And his mom had said something in an audio letter that she sent to him that she was interested in getting a computer for her home. So he's explaining exactly what she can do with a computer in her home. And it really is a different time. I mean, he talks about how you have to hook the computer up to a television set, for example. And maybe some of you don't remember that, but early computers, a lot of times that's what you had to do, was clip it to your TV set. And he also talks about printers, how printers cost more than the computers, $600 or $800 just to get a printer. It's probably one of those really noisy, clackety things, too. But practically speaking, he's trying to help his mom with this computer she might buy and what she might use it for. And apparently his mother is interested in incorporating this computer she might buy into her home cooking routine. And listen to her son's advice that he gives her on this whole idea. He talks about her shopping list as requirements planning, and making sauces or mixes becomes a sub-assembly. He wants to turn his mom into a factory.
I listened to the most of the first side of your first tape, of your last tape, and now getting to some of the questions that you asked about the TV. Yes, you can hook any TV up to these home computers. And as for wearing out your screen, that's not true. If you left the game on for hundreds and hundreds of hours, it might possibly etch a pattern into the screen. But that's not, as a practical matter, you can use any TV. You might find it inconvenient to have the computer sitting in your living room hooked up to your TV, and maybe that's why people use a spare TV. He asked about a hard copy, a printer. That is a little bit of a problem. Now, you can get printers for these home computers, but they're expensive. They cost a lot more than a computer. They cost something on the order of about $600 to $800. Most people think that they need printers when they really don't. It's kind of a security blanket. They like to have a piece of paper they can hold in their hands and touch and feel. The computer keeps the numbers internally. The way I do it is once a month when I work on my books, I do a trial balance, and it shows the balance in each account, and I write that down on a piece of paper. Now, that takes about 5 minutes to copy it down, but that gives me my hard copy. I think that's really sufficient. I don't think you need a printer. I mean, it would be something that's nice to have, but how much are you willing to pay for that? I don't think it's worth $600. You asked if it's faster to do your entries through the computer. Yeah, certainly it is. That's the big advantage of it. Another advantage of the computer, not the computer per se, but the software that you get with the computer, is that you become exposed to better techniques for keeping your books. Now, you brought up the question of keeping recipes. That's a very interesting question. I've programmed, full-blown MRP manufacturing systems. MRP is a sort of a catchphrase or a buzzword, stands for Material Requirements Planning, for big manufacturing companies. But you can see a kitchen as a subset, as a miniature manufacturing plant. And I have, in fact, set up MRP systems that I used at home for just what you were talking about, more or less as a demonstration. Now, the way a system like that works is basically you treat the whole kitchen like a manufacturing plant, which means you need some disciplines. The computer has to know about all of your recipes, which are, in manufacturing terms, are called bills of materials, but it's the same thing as a recipe. But recipes occur at various levels. It's not just a recipe produces a final product. You have what they call sub-assemblies, for example, sauces. A sauce might be a sub-assembly. If you make up your own mix, let's say cornbread mix, that's a sub-assembly, and then that in turn becomes a component into a finished good. All of the raw materials, that's all of the raw materials, not just the most frequently used ones, but all of them, have to have a cost on them. So you have to tell the computer how much sugar and flour and so on and so forth costs. Now, what the computer does then is it can cost the finished product. In other words, the computer can figure out to make one portion of galumpka or whatever, it's going to cost you 37.3 cents. You're not really that much concerned with costs, but well, you might be. But one of the nice things that the thing can do for you comes in the area of requirements planning. Now, that's a fancy name for a shopping list. Every week, most people go to the supermarket about once a week. You need a shopping list of the stuff that you're going to need. Now, the way my system worked is you'd come on there once a week, and you'd give it the menu for the next week. In other words, you'd give it the names of the dishes that you're going to serve or that you're going to manufacture that week. You might have some leftovers, but the dishes that you're going to cook that week. All right, it would implode the bills of materials and go down and figure out which raw materials were necessary to manufacture those recipes. And then it would combine all of the similar products and produce one shopping list. In other words, if one recipe might need 0.3 onion and another recipe might need 1.2 onion, it would come out and say that you need 1.5 onions. And it would apply the cost of an onion to those 1.5. So in the shopping list, it would also give you the cost. I'm thinking about writing something like that for probably on my TI. The problem is that it requires some more storage capacity than what I have. It really requires some disk drives to keep the recipes on, and which is $600. And I don't think that most home systems, I don't think most people would be willing to spend in the neighborhood of $1,000 or more for a system that does their recipes. You know, $150, $250, that's one thing, but when you get up over $1,000, then that's really another ball game. I don't think people would be willing to spend that. In fact, I'm not willing to spend that. But it's an interesting idea. That's all I have right now. I'll leave the rest of this.
Here's some audio that made the rounds on the internet a couple years ago. These were calls to Apple computer tech support guys that were recorded and turned into MP3s and then uploaded and downloaded all over the place. And these people are facing some confusion about their computer and how it works. One particular fellow doesn't seem to understand exactly what that box is that's hooked up to the typewriter device. And there's this guy who calls whose first language is obviously not English, and the tech support person is trying to tell him to use a paperclip. You know, you can take a paperclip and unbend it to poke in there to get a CD-ROM that's stuck to get it out of your computer. but he has no idea what a paperclip is. He knows what paper is. He knows what a computer is, and it's not making any sense.
How a conformer to the source and the avatar this? And also one more question. How a conformer to this, you know, can pull up the floppy disk? Or that cannot be done?
Excuse me?
What I would like is a little bit of assistance in knowing how it's done on an Apple.
Okay, sir, with the current version of the operating system, there is no way to bypass our graphical interface. To do so would require programming skill.
And you needn't concern yourself with that.
Sir, what can I help you with today? I do not know any way to bypass the operating system the way you need to.
You have a thing called the toolkit. I presume you still do.
Toolkit? You mean
yes.
The toolbox?
Toolbox.
Those are routines in ROM.
Yep.
Okay, what do you need to do? What can I help you with?
Hook into them so that I can read and write to the raster memory.
Okay, that involves programming skill, and that is not something that this line is set up to support with. I do not know how to do that.
Okay. Can you give me a number for someone who does?
That would be the Apple Developers Hotline.
Right.
And I can give you that number.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, this machine that sits in between the typewriter and the monitor has got two disks on it, or two places for floppy disks.
All right, right. But is your computer an Apple IIe or a IIc?
It looks like a C. What does an E look like? This one looks like a small C.
Excuse me?
Is it sitting up?
No, it's not part of the computer. Are you not sure what a paperclip is?
No.
Okay.
This is the first time you know I use the computer.
Okay, it's not a part of your computer. It's just an office supply, a little metal rod, a little piece of metal that you use to hold two pieces of paper together.
Let me see. Because it comes with a lot of paper, you know.
Okay, no, it's not part of the computer.
Oh.
It's just something that you would have laying around the house that you take a stack of papers and you use a paper clip to hold three or four pieces of paper together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like a pad? Like a pad paper?
No, this is a, do you know what, it's a piece of wire, metal?
No.
Okay, it's something that you could put, you see the small hole next to the CD slot?
Yes, small hole.
Okay, it's a piece of metal that you could stick into that hole to push a button that is inside of that hole.
You think this CD is not come out because something is not work well?
No, it's probably fine, but if you need to get the CD out in order for the computer to come back up, okay.
Yeah. I don't have this kind of paper.
Okay, it's a paper clip. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You might. Is there somebody around you could ask if they know what a paper clip is?
Mm-hmm.
Do that. I'm sure somebody has one, and get a paper clip and call us back.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Jim.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Write the BCD number 0215. 0000. 10001. 20010. 30011. 40100. 50101. 60110. 70111. 81000. 91001. 10001 0000. 11001 0001. 12001 0010. 13001 0011. 14001 15-0-0-0. 15-0-0-0-1-0-1-0-1. How does one convert a binary number to its gray code equivalent? One converts a binary number to its gray code equivalent by comparing each binary adjacent bit. If they are the same, one writes a 0. If they are different, one writes a 1. How does one convert a gray code number to its binary equivalent? One converts a gray code number to its binary equivalent by writing down each gray code bit the same up to and including the first 1, and then comparing this result diagonally with the remaining gray code bits. If they are the same, one writes a 0. If they are different, one writes a 1. What is the difference between the 6 and the 7-bit ASCII code? The difference between the 6 and 7-bit ASCII code is that the 7-bit ASCII code has more control functions and includes lowercase letters. What is assembly language? Assembly language is a language or code consisting of mnemonics. What is the name of an assembly language program called? The name of an assembly language program is called a source program. What is compiler and interpretive language? Compiler and interpretive language are languages or codes consisting of words. What is the name of a compiler or interpretive language program called? The name of a compiler or interpretive language program is called a source program. What is the translation program for assembly language called? The translation program for assembly language is called an assembler. What is the translation program for compiler language called? The translation program for compiler language is called a compiler. What is the translation program for interpretive language called? The translation program for interpretive language is called an interpreter. Where is the difference between compiler and interpretive programming seen? The difference between compiler and interpretive programming is seen in the program's execution. What does machine-dependent mean? Machine-dependent means that low-level languages are being used and can only be used by one particular type of MPU. What languages are machine-dependent? The languages which are machine-dependent are machine language and assembly language.
You're listening to The Audio Kitchen, a radio program of found sound and amateur recordings, and I am the professor. And today, we're looking at the world of computers and computing. And as I said earlier, computers and the internet have been a part of this program since the very beginning. And sometime, I guess it was, when was it? 2001, when Napster was really up and running. And there was a lot of found sound that could be found on the internet. You can still find some of it now, but it's not nearly as easy, and there's not as much of it out there. And just to briefly explain the found sound on the internet, if you've heard this program before, you've heard me talk about how things were found on Napster, and maybe you're wondering why. I'm going to just briefly explain how that happens. I'm sure more than a few of you are familiar with peer-to-peer file sharing. There was Audio Galaxy, which has been killed by the RIAA, just like they killed Napster. Those people are out of control. I have no respect for those people, but that's another issue. Nonetheless, there still are peer-to-peer networks out there, Kazaa being the most popular one. And the way they work is you get on these networks and you can access other people's hard drives who are on the network like you. I mean, you designate a certain folder where all the files are that you are sharing, okay? And by default, I think with PCs, it's like my documents, my music, my something or other, my folder, okay, goes to that one. It's the same one, pretty much, unless you change it. Most people don't change it. So all of the MP3s, that's generally what people trade, although there's other things you can trade on these networks now, but we're just talking about MP3s. And they're in this particular folder, and all the ones you download are there, and then people see them, and then they upload them from your computer, and so on and so forth. There's a program out there called Music Match Jukebox. I've never used the program, or maybe I did once, but it's a popular program for making MP3s. You put your CDs in there, and zip, boom, bam, it turns it into a bunch of MP3s, okay? That's what people do. But there are other features on Music Match Jukebox. Like, for example, you can plug a microphone into your computer. And just like making a cassette tape or something, you can record into your computer with this microphone and with this Music Match program and make an MP3 directly. And by default, Music Match would name these particular files that are made with a microphone, mic and track, M-I-C, not the name, mic, M-I-C in track, three words, okay? And those, by default, if nobody changed the settings, would go into that same sharing folder, the My Music folder, whatever it is. So, okay, you get that, right? Somebody makes a recording, and then it's in their shared folder, and then that's how these things became available on Napster or Audio Galaxy, and even now with Kazaa. It's not nearly what it was when Napster was going and there was 20, 30 million people on there. And you would search for mic and track. And it was great. We had a lot of fun downloading those babies. And some really interesting things came out of that. Strange things. But something else about this software is once you hook this microphone up to your computer, there were some people who, while trying to figure out their software or trying to make an MP3 or something music-wise, would actually be recording themselves and not know it. So in other words, this is a found recording that the person who made the recording might not even know they made. You can't get much more found than that. And I'm going to play a couple of those right now. And again, it's pretty obvious that these girls you're about to hear did not know they were recording themselves, let alone probably realize that it was available around the world. In fact, I believe these girls were like in Australia or something. One of the girls comes in, and apparently she's coming in late, and her mother's going to be upset at her, whatever. But these snack food-eating girls, you can hear them delving into bags of Cheetos or candy or something while they're sitting in front of the computer. And one of them is about to make a CD, or she thinks she is, for the first time. She's been downloading music probably all day. And her sister is just amazed that she's going to make this audio CD. They're sitting there in front of the computer, and they don't know what's going on. Music Match is continuing to do something, and they don't understand it. You can hear one of them say, "It's still going. Is it a long song?" I guess they think it's downloading or ripping. But no. It's still going. It's still recording them.
And she said, and I said, "You weren't home. You're dead." Mum rang about an hour ago and I said, "You weren't home." And she said, "You were in trouble then." Then she rang back about half an hour ago and, "You're not in trouble, not home, and you're in heaps more trouble."
So she rang half an hour ago?
2:30.
I'm talking to Rebecca.
No, wait, Rebecca's on the computer. I've been asking her where you are.
Wasn't it her that I waved to on the bike ride?
No.
We got home at about 2, right? So I'm gonna
Jess, I was home here at 2.
Yeah, no, I walked past home at 2.
You didn't... When I got home, your bag was at the front door. You were home before 2.
No,
I
wasn't.
Should we?
Yeah, school complaint since I had to drive.
Anyway, don't touch the computer because I'm on it and I'm saying
this is recording and I
can't
see it. No, it's not
How long does this song go for?
How does it exist?
Hours?
I don't know. These are all the ones that didn't get finished, are they?
Uh-huh.
Do you even get to them? Or the ones that you started to download that didn't finish?
Mm-hmm. Incomplete. These are my ones. Do you know how to make your own music matchbook?
I want to know. Just show me something. Turns out Tony Lee Scott downloaded.
It did.
It did? When? Can you play?
No, I'm not playing anything while this one. Do you know how to save your own? Do you want me to show you?
Yeah.
Okay. Choose. Choose all your songs you want and just put them in there. Don't play any of them.
Are you doing this onto a CD?
Yeah.
What?
Not in work, but...
Oh, cute. How many can you have?
I now have 10.
Actually, I don't want that one.
Is Dad coming to our...
I don't know where he's going.
Ready?
No, I'm not finished.
Oh, who cares?
No.
See what I downloaded?
No.
So funny. Have you heard it?
Where's that?
Yay!
No, I didn't mean to do that.
Ready? Get up.
Does that mean we don't have them on the computer anymore, though? Have you got a CD in there at the moment?
It's still going. Maybe it's just a long song.
I only need to do this. That's not very long. Yeah.
There it is.
Remember what I do.
Music back.
And then how do you download it onto CD? What?
So I'm trying to do now. You go options. Record. Control. Play as play control record. Well, we're leaving in about an hour.
So how about that accent? What, Australian? I guess so. New Zealand? I don't know. But I got a number of those kind of accidental recordings that were up there on Napster, and most of them weren't that interesting. Just people sitting around mumbling and televisions playing, whatever. But this next one is just as good or better. I think it's better. Again, it's two girls in the bedroom. And don't get all excited. I know. Nothing crazy happens. These girls are a little older. One is Rachel. I forget the other's name. And they're there, I think, in Rachel's bedroom. And Rachel's been downloading music from Napster. And this MP3 starts off with her listening to a Britney Spears MP3 she's just downloaded. Probably doesn't even realize it was written by the Rolling Stones. But these two teenagers... they sit in front of the computer and have a regular computer adventure. And it's accompanied with all the typing and clicking and AOL and Microsoft sounds coming out of the speakers. It's all the stuff you'd expect. And they go into a Survivor chat room, and they actually narrate the banter in the chat room between them and some guys they're flirting with. And at one point, they decide that they're going to play a little prank, and instead of sending one of their pictures to this guy, they're going to send a picture of Janet Reno. Pretty funny, huh? Anyway, it's a slice of life in a teenage bedroom in 2001, somewhere in America.
I like this song. It's a Britney Spears-y song. I loved it. Dang, I knew I should have bought the pack during Gimbal. Let's see. How much is it per share?
It probably went. I think it's running about 51 now. 52. It's like down to 48 last week. It's like, ooh, I should have bought it.
Rachel.
Yeah.
How did
you
find out about
Joel? She didn't. I was just testing her.
You just asked her.
Right.
You're so deep. I'm
should we go in a Survivor chat room?
Yeah. Check it out, man. I want to wear that sweater again, but I can't. Somebody's already seen it.
Any horny girls want to chat? This is a Survivor. Oh no, it's a different one.
Okay.
What should I put?
For what?
They're all bashing Amber and Jerry.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't like them either. I'm so glad they got kicked out.
But Elizabeth is just as much a bitch as Jerry.
Uh-oh. What happened now?
Because there's a girl named... Her room name is Elizabeth Fan.
It's probably the real Elizabeth. She's probably talking about her.
Shucky, are you brain dead? Shucky, are you brain dead? No, I'm not.
So, no, I'm not Cody. Not yet, let me see.
No, I'm not brain dead. I just hit my head. What's that? What was that? But I hate everyone on that show except for the host.
I'm the guy that burned his hand. I really like him.
Goodbye.
Why did they say goodbye?
Because somebody left.
Oh. He says goodbye to them? That's really nice.
Five pinball?
I need to have a different color so I can stand out like fuchsia. I put, they're all, Elizabeth is hot, and I put, Elizabeth isn't as hot as I am.
Not that loud.
Get over yourself. Send a pic then? How do I send a picture?
Okay. Oh, damn, too bad we don't have a picture of Janet Reno. That would be so fun. Where's that picture of Janet Reno? Say, okay, you have to hold on so I can scan it. Look at the,
Do we look like tech support? Do you have an address checky on the net?
Shecky.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, you can paste it in your mail and then send it to a picture. To a fish person.
Oh, is that okay? Oh, I get it. See, he's like talking to you private.
Yeah, I know. Oh. Can't type at all. Okay, now what do I do? Can I see if you're prettier than it is? Although I doubt you are.
Oh, so fine. Screw you. Hey, little baby.
A faithful man.
So I hope you're a man. Are you a man? Trying to figure this thing out on the computer, and it's so funny, we can't figure it out. Well, Rachel's trying to send a picture to somebody via email, and we have no idea. I guess not. I don't know. She's talking to them online, and I don't know. Anyway, that's pretty fun, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of stupid when it comes to computers. Yeah, I think you do. Cool. So, you're done taking your shower. What? Rock on. All right. Well, no kidding.
No, I am. I'm ready. I'll wait outside for you. I'll be outside. Well, you know, that'd be great, but we actually have like 50 people at our house tonight, so... that's alright. That's no big deal. But cool, I'll see you in a few. Okay, bye.
Here?
I'm having problems.
Yes, sure.
Thank you.
Sick.
Yes.
Gringle?
Yes.
Goodbye.
We gotta go back to my house. Just...
Oh, hey, there's me.
Yeah, there's you.
What are you doing?
Oh, nothing. I'm closing this. Hang on, you gotta hear this. Britney's
new song. I like it. But it only has like
a couple
of songs. So
what
do
you
want to
do tonight, huh?
We have finished the execution of the second instruction. Now, we begin the fetch phase of the third instruction. So therefore, if the contents of the program counter, which is 1-4 hexadecimal, is then transferred to the address register. The program counter is then incremented to 1-5 hexadecimal. The 1-4 hexadecimal that is at the address register is then transferred to the address bus. 1-4 hexadecimal is on the address bus. The 1-4 hexadecimal on the address bus then is fed into the address decoder. The address decoder selects memory location 1-4 hexadecimal. A read signal goes out from the MPU to memory and causes the contents of memory address 1-4 hexadecimal to be placed on the data bus. The contents of memory address 1-4 hexadecimal is 9-7 hexadecimal. The 9-7 hexadecimal on the data bus is then fed into the data register. Since we are in the fetch phase, the 9-7 hexadecimal then goes into the instruction decoder. The instruction decoder identifies this as 97STA, store the accumulator using the direct addressing mode.
You're listening to The Audio Kitchen, Found Sound Amateur Recordings with me, the Professor. Any correspondence? Love to hear from you. Send them to prof@wfmu.org. Okay, to end the show, I'm going to play that guy that I played at the beginning, early on. The sniffly guy who's sending the audio letter to Mom about turning her kitchen into a manufacturing plant, that guy. Apparently, just that day, before he started this audio letter to his mama, he just got this major insight, like a light bulb went up on top of his head, you know? And he finally figured out who these people are who are buying the home computers. He's like a visionary.
This is the next morning. I was laying around this morning, and it finally came to me why people buy home computers. It all started back when home computers first came out, and I noticed the types of people who were buying them. In data processing, the programmers weren't particularly interested. You'd ask them, they'd say, well, what do I need one for? What would I do with it? The people who were buying them were computer operators, DP managers who were programmers 20 years ago and couldn't program anything now. And when you talk to them, they all claim that they're going to write these wonderful programs. Well, you know that that can't work. If they can't program the big machines, what makes them think they can program the little ones? But, okay. A little bit later on, I was talking to some guys in the accounting department, the accounting managers who are 30, 35 years old, pretty sharp guys. The same thing. They say, well, what do I need one for? I don't have anything at home that I could use it for. The guys that, well, there's a guy in our accounting department who's about 60 years old, and he's still a bookkeeper, and he's never going to be more than that. He's real hot on them. He's talking about buying a $3,000 machine. Then I was in this computer store, and this guy came in. I swear to God, this guy was mentally retarded. And he comes in, and he wants to know if they have something for some computer he's already got. Then later on, this black lady comes in, looked like she was on welfare, and she's talking about buying a machine. And you look at these people and you say there's no possible way that these people could use the machine. I mean, certainly not to program it. What do they think they're doing? Well, it finally came to me. All these people have in common is that they're all losers. They're people who have never made it in real life and are never going to. And they're people, basically, who don't like themselves. Disliking yourself produces all sorts of irrational behavior. But there are two reasons why the people get the machine. They're both related. The first one is that they think the machine is some sort of an icon. In theater, they have a term for it. They call it deus ex machina. This means a device, a mechanical device, that either substitutes for a person or does something beyond the capabilities of a person, a god out of a machine. These people think, well, maybe they're inadequate, but with the addition of this machine, somehow it'll give them powers that they didn't have before. It'll make them into a likable person. The second reason is because all their life they've been frustrated and nobody will listen to them. And they have all these wonderful ideas if only people would pay attention to them. So they get this machine, and in effect, it's like getting a dog. The machine won't talk back to you. The machine will just do whatever you tell it to. So they think finally they'll have an opportunity to do the things that they weren't able to do all their life. Well, of course, none of this is going to work. I mean, they're just setting themselves up for another series of frustrations. You go back to them 3 months, 6 months later, and you say, well, how's your computer doing? What are you running on it? And of course, they say, I haven't had time to work on that. I wrote a program that, prints random numbers or, some dumb little thing that they probably just copied out of a book. And I just haven't had time to work on that. And of course, they're never going to have time because they can't make it work. But that's the marketing appeal of these machines, is to give people these superhuman abilities, or super to them anyway. Let them do something that they couldn't do themselves. Think about it. I'll close off now and let Robin thank you for her Easter dress. Bye.
And we leave you with this thought.
Well, that's true. I got my computer because it's kind of like a dog, and it makes me think I have superhuman capabilities. How about you? Okay, show's over. See you later. Bye-bye. Take it easy. No. Also, next week. You know what next week is? Ho, ho, ho. It's that special, special time of year. Jingle, jangle, holly, jolly. That's right. Next week, it's Christmas. Here in the Audio Kitchen, it's Christmas. Hang a stocking, put up the old mistletoe, and throw a chestnut on the fire, and get ready to jingle. See you next week.
Goodbye.